The Writer's Almanac podcast is supported by Poetry Magazine. For over 90 years, a premier publisher of contemporary verse. You can find it online at poetrymagazine.org. And here is the Writer's Almanac for Sunday, the 25th of May, 2008. It was on this day in 1787, Independence Hall in Philadelphia, the Constitutional Convention got underway. Many people agreed that the Articles of Confederation, under which the colonies organized after the Revolution, was not working. The colonies had remained relatively independent of each other, almost like separate countries, and the result was a sort of anarchy. So the Congress agreed that a stronger central government was necessary to keep the country from falling apart. Thomas Jefferson was not there. He was in Paris. John Adams was in England. Patrick Henry refused to come. He was suspicious that a stronger form of central government would lead to tyranny. The convention decided to scrap the Articles of Confederation and start over, and so they decided to work in secret. The windows were nailed shut, guards were posted, not a word was leaked to the press. 55 delegates were there of 74 who had been invited to come. Most of them were young, only six over 60, four of them still in their 20s. Rhode Island didn't send anybody. They didn't approve of the whole thing. George Washington would have preferred to stay home, but he presided over the convention. Other delegates had persuaded him that his prestige was necessary to guarantee success. He rarely spoke during the debates, but his presence alone affected what people said. Many of the delegates later said that they had been reluctant to give the office of the president much power for fear of creating a king. But when they saw Washington up front, and imagined that he would soon hold that position, they felt better about granting the head of state more power. It took some persuading, but today ours is the oldest written national constitution in the world, also one of the shortest, only 7,591 words. It's the birthday of Ralph Waldo Emerson, born in Boston, 1803, on this day. The short story writer Raymond Carver, born in Clatskanie, Oregon, 1938. The poet Theodore Rethke, born in Saginaw, Michigan, 1908. Here's a poem for today by Catherine Essinger, entitled "The Man Next Door Is Teaching His Dog to Drive." It all began when he came out one morning and found the dog waiting for him behind the wheel. He thought she looked pretty good sitting there. So he started taking her into town with him, just so she could get a feel for the road. They have made a few turns through the field, him sitting beside her, his foot on the accelerator, her muzzle on the wheel. Now they are practicing going up and down the lane with him whispering encouragement in her silky ear. She is a handsome dog with long ears and a speckled muzzle, and he is a good teacher. "Now my wife Millie," he says, "she was always too timid on the road. But don't you be afraid to let people know that you're there." The dog seems to be thinking about this seriously. Braking, however, is still a problem. But he's building a mouthpiece, which he hopes to attach to the steering column, and when he upgrades to one of those new sport utility vehicles with the remote ignition device, he will have solved the key and the lock problem. Although he has not yet let her drive into town, he thinks she will be ready sometime next month, and when his eyes get bad and her hip dysplasia gets worse, he thinks this will come in real handy. A poem by Catherine Essinger, "The Man Next Door Is Teaching His Dog to Drive," from her collection, "My Dog Does Not Read Plato," published by Main Street Rag and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation. You can find thousands of classic and contemporary poems by hundreds of poets online at poetryfoundation.org. produced by Thomas Schweitzker and Katrina Ciccala. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch. The Writer's Almanac podcast is supported by the Fetzer Institute as part of its campaign for love and forgiveness, online at loveandforgive.org.